Blog Talk Radio.
All right, reading in the shade with Phoenix Kaliter. She forgot to start saying words.
I could have sworn you told me that the music was starting first. No, that's not what
we're
doing. Hey, fam. This is what happens when I host shows. Also, may or may not have been ignoring William because I was trying to do the tag list. That happens sometimes in life. So, men, we don't always listen to them. So welcome to the wine cellar.
No, this is reading in the shade.
No, this is reading in the shade on the wine cellar.
It's a subsidiary.
It's a subsidiary of Wine Cellar Entertainment.
Holy shit,
so
what's happening?
What's happening is I am trying to be resistant to having my own show. It was really, and it's just not working. So, I know. We have headlines. We're going to talk about
Islamic
stuff.
It might be Islamic stuff. I'm going to complain about Zoe Saldana. Actually, no, complaining isn't the right word. I'm going to critique Zoe Saldana. I am very disappointed in her. And we're going to pretend that this is a wine cellar podcast because that's less stressful to me. And hopefully y'all will check us out and comment because I like active comment sections and threads. And Fallen, I hope you are okay because Fallen is at the doctor, I see. I hope Fallen is okay. So, yeah, that's what we're doing, right? Maybe.
You're not sure.
It's the whole independent media thing. You just kind of do what you want to do when you want to do it. Rules, fuck rules. Who needs rules, right? Right. Format rules, don't need any of it.
If you're more of a reader than a listener, you can peep our written content at socialdissonance.wordpress.com.
That's just useful. All right, you've got your headlines.
I do have my headlines. I was waiting for Penny to say more words there. We need to get new sound bites from her, by the way. All right. So, yeah, I like new fun stuff. She does hilarious things. I want
hit her up and talk to her.
I should. Man. This is what it's like to do show prep. You know, you get, like, all these articles together, and you're like, oh, we're going to talk about all this stuff to keep people informed. And then you just look at this, like, long-ass list of bullshit and horrible things going on in the world. Like, aw. So, we have a man who posts death threats against Black Lives Matter supporters because we're post-racial. A New Jersey woman says a stranger from Cyprus sent her racist and graphic death threats because of her support for the Black Lives Matter movement. I feel like my life is in danger, Heather Smith told Channel 2. The disturbing hate-filled threat arrived in her Facebook inbox Tuesday morning. It started off with, "Let me tell you how I want to kill you." Smith says she didn't recognize the man's name or face, but thinks she knows why he targeted her. That is actually on my wall. I posted that yesterday. She was kind enough to post the screenshot. Incidentally, side note, that man wrote her a very horrible, horrible series of messages, and she posted them, and her account got suspended from Facebook for violating community standards by sharing it. So show some support to her. Also, a Texas trooper indicted over Sandra Bland stop is formally fired. The Texas state trooper indicted over his arrest of a black woman who was later found dead in her jail cell has been formally fired. The Texas Department of Public Safety announcement, the Department of Public Safety announced Wednesday, 3 months after trooper Brian Encinia, is that how we say that? Encinia, was charged with perjury. He was accused of lying about his July 2015 arrest of Sandra Bland. His confrontational traffic stop with the trooper was recorded on dash cam video. And Cynia can appeal his firing to a state board. His attorney has said the indictment isn't justified and that Insignia was looking out for his own safety. Sandra Bland was terrifying. Terrifying. The family of Bland, a 28-year-old black woman from Chicago, has sued the Department of Public Safety and local authorities who ran the jail where she was found dead. Her death was ruled a suicide. And, this one is embarrassing to me because this is a Chicago story. Republican politicians to single mothers. No father, no birth certificate, no benefits. Several Illinois politicians believe they found the solution to ensuring women aren't relying on the government for welfare, food stamps, or any type of aid. A new bill will prevent single mothers from receiving a birth certificate for their child if they refuse to list the father. These mothers will also be deemed ineligible to receive any state-related benefits. Without a birth certificate, the child would most likely be unable to register for school. IDs and passports would also be unavailable to a person that does not have a valid birth certificate. My thought on that is that it's actually a bit more of a nefarious plan because, yeah, the kids won't be able to register for school and get medical care, but before that, I think that this is an excuse to drop a lot of brown and black children into detention facilities. Yes? I'm pretty sure.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, that's just
I didn't. I caught the pause.
Uh-huh.
I was like, huh, maybe I should stop typing in the chat room and say some shit.
Okay, so I have a pause there because I presented this idea to other people and they thought I was sort of going down the conspiracy theory rabbit hole, but to me that makes sense. Private prisons are a multi-billion dollar industry. Prisons get paid for every body they have, there, for every bed they have filled. So it makes sense to me that you can start taking kids, from a very early age and putting them in detention centers and making money off of them, and they will, just stay there indefinitely. And, of course, there will be increased risk of diseases as well because these kids won't qualify for medical care, which means no vaccination. So I guess they can all have polio in the detention center together.
Jesus. And because the logical conclusion of what will happen, which will actually benefit the ownership class, and people say you're a conspiracy theorist.
Folks want to pop off?
Pretty much. They do want to pop off. That's what humans do. So that's my theory about that is because, obviously they put these plans in place before, not specifically with birth certificates, but with, denying access to abortions, denying access to medical care, denying access to preventative and comprehensive sex education and contraceptives, but every time they do, the birth rates go up. So, it's not like we don't know that there's going to be an increase in births, particularly among poor people who don't have access to resources. So I'm pretty sure that these kids will end up in prison or in detention centers and then possibly their parents as well because aren't their parents aiding and abetting criminals by taking care of undocumented individuals? Like, that's a crime, right? I'm pretty sure that's a crime.
Undocumented individuals are very bad.
Well, if you were politically savvy, you would know that future President Donald Trump has informed us that they're rapists and dangerous. And Mexico sends them here, and that's why Mexico is going to pay millions of dollars to build a wall to keep us safe, because Mexico is very concerned about our safety as a nation.
Yeah, though, there's different sounds that let me know that there's danger afoot. Like when I hear the certain kind of vibes and whatnot. Whoa! Yeah. That's when I hear danger. Typically from
because
a pickup truck.
Redneck white people. Yes, yes. I would also look for visual signs such as, but not limited to, Klan hoods and Confederate flags.
Maybe. All right. So let's see. We are 10 minutes past the hour. Went live at 9 p.m. Eastern on Reading in the Shade with Phoenix Kaleeder. Just got the blog up and running just somewhere around like a month ago, and just got the page up and running just somewhere around like a week ago, and trying to get it to a point where it is growing on itself. Bag Shoes is in the chat space, disgusted and full of rage, but here, present, and also here, but no longer in the butt. Bag Shoes has exited the butt. These are inside jokes. Folks better get down with the wine cellar and you'll know what the hell is going on. Fallen Loco, we need you to be well, because we need independent Blizzak Rizziders writing stuff about things. Bag Shoes said, ... I hate you. Oh, that must be French. All right. Said, I'm gonna put
Wait, is it hate with a silent E? It's a hate with a silent E, like butt has a silent E at the end.
It's like a schwa. It's a
schwa.
Yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's not enough to have schwa.
It's like a French burrito. So you dip it in wine sauce.
What is happening? Oh,
yeah,
I think we all know. Yes.
That's the kind of shenanigans, Thugabaloo and Nigger Moreau, that goes on in the chat rooms. You go and check those out at Wine Cellar Podcast Friends Group on the old Facebook Arena. Go check out the Reading in the Shade page on the Facebook Arena. And if you type in Phoenix Kaleeder on the Twitter, it will suggest, do you want Uppity Negress? Go to Uppity Negress. Follow that one. She has two other accounts. Don't follow those. They are inactive.
Inactive.
All right. And the one that you're using now has been retweeted by who now?
Killer Mike.
Aye.
Margaret Cho.
Ijaka.
And who's that guy that, like, he, like, raps or something? Like,
some sort of rhyming on the funky beats. I hear he's one of those Brooklyn fellas, too. He's from, but let me be clear. Phoenix Kaleeder, who reads in the shade, goes on Twitter and gets retweeted by fine Brooklyn individuals like Talib Kweli. He's one of the blacks. All right. And so, what up?
For the record, he retweeted twice. Twice in one day.
Retweeted twice. Two of these tweets went to 1% of his account. All right, let's see. All right, so with that, we're going to dig into it. And it will be going into colorism. And this Nina Simone's oppression versus Zoe's privilege. It's Zoe. There's no Y at the end.
Her name is it's Zoe.
Zoe.
It's
Zoe.
Really? It is Zoe, fool.
Name is Zoe.
It is Zoe.
Zoe. And
I really just. Ooh.
You can say words about things in one of the chat spaces. You can tweet at the Uppity Negress, search Phoenix Kaleeder. You can tweet it at the Father Teresa on the Twitters. And we got Wine Cellar News on the Tumblr. You can bother us there. Do whatever the fuck you want to do, motherfucker. And or you can call in and say your shit right here on the program at 347-857-3937. That is 347-857-3937. Let's get down to the shit.
This show is fucked up.
This show is so reverse racist.
This show is rated R for keeping it real.
Negroes doing Negro stuff.
Keeping it real.
With a keep it real attitude, keep it real, keep it real, keep it real,
keeping it real.
and reading in the shade. Wine Cellar subsidiary. Still a Wine Cellar show. And one of the things I wanted to talk about today in particular was this issue with the Nina Simone movie. If you're not familiar with her music, you should be, because she's amazing. She was a black musician, always stood up for black people, always stood up for the black community, and talked about her blackness in her music. If you are familiar with the song Strange Fruit, which is essentially a song about lynching, she did that. She also had Mississippi Goddamn. Just amazing all around. Love Nina Simone. Definitely check out her music. So, Hollywood, very typical Hollywood fashion, said, hey, let's make a movie about her life. That would be fantastic, right? And the problem is they cast Zoe Saldana. If you are not familiar with Zoe, she was in the Avatar movie, which obviously doesn't show her face. If you want to know what her face looks like, you can Google it. Or if you've seen the movie Colombiana, where she plays an assassin, that was Zoe. She is very light-skinned. She usually wears her hair straight. She has what appears to be a mixed race, veering towards European type of bone structure. And she identifies as Afro-Latina, or usually just Latina. She does not like to admit that she's black. So that's kind of a problem, because while Zoe doesn't want to admit that she's black, while she doesn't embrace her blackness, Nina was all about the blackness.
Yeah.
Right?
And she was also in Star Wars.
Zoe Saldana was in Star Wars?
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, apparently Zoe Saldana was in Star Wars. Okay, apparently
and
Zoe
check,
Saldana
and,
was in Star
and
Wars.
Check your, and check your messages.
And check my messages. When they made this movie, as if it wasn't bad enough that they couldn't seem to find a dark-skinned black actress to actually play her, they not only picked a... What is that nonsense? Sorry, I'm getting sidetracked, y'all. They not only picked a light actress, they literally put her in blackface. They put her in blackface, and they gave her a prosthetic nose to make her nose look more African. So I'm really disappointed with the way that they opted to do this, right? And so my basic opinion of it has been like, look, I'm not going to go see this movie. I might critique it when it's like free on demand for me, but I'm not buying a ticket for this bullshit. I don't have patience for people like Zoe who are black but deny their blackness. That doesn't help you at the end of the day, even though you're light and you benefit from being white. You're still black, okay? Denying it isn't going to help you. It doesn't help us. It doesn't build solidarity within the black community. It is trying to shame darker people for being darker. It does somehow pretend that you have some sort of, like, magic ability to embrace whiteness just because you're light. Even though you have more privileges for being white, you're still not white. They don't like you. They don't want you. They still want to lynch you. You're still a nigger. Like, just fucking get over that shit. And I'm very, very disappointed that a dark-skinned black woman who rocked an afro and talked about lynchings in her music, that was her activism, is being played by some light-skinned chick who has to wear blackface to be that dark and hates blackness. You know, like, they really could have found other actresses. There are other actresses out there. You know, I always thought Angela Bassett would have actually been a really good pick for Nina. I don't know. What do you think?
Nah, you really want to be pretty accurate. Jesus Christ. Let me go ahead and dig up this name.
Well,
and, I mean, obviously, right. It's going to sound like I'm biased. With the pick, but Erica Alexander, like, that's a pretty good, yeah, that's a really good match.
Erica Alexander could have, you know who else? I think India Arie could have done it, too. assuming that the skin bleaching rumors aren't true, yes. I think she could have. Lupita.
India Re acts?
Well, I don't know that India Re acts, but it is a song about a singer. So she's got to sing and play piano and be musically inclined and spend a lot of time on stage performing, which India Re can do.
Okay, so she just gets like hella coaching or something, like she's in the game.
Yeah. And then, like, and I certainly don't want to be, like, dismissive about it, but at the same time, like, how hard could it be for a dark-skinned woman to play a dark-skinned black woman? Because, like, yeah, you know what they say about you. You know how racism works. Like, you don't have to, like, tap into some alternative character and go through coaching to be upset about racism because you know what it's like because that's just your everyday experience. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can be honest about the role because that's your life. Shit. Yeah, I think that she would have been good. Tika Sumpter is an actress, I think, that could have done it. I would have loved to see Lupita. Everybody loves Lupita.
Stacey Dash.
God, maybe you got a joke.
Probably.
Stacey Chris Rock.
What?
Thank you, Chris Rock. Okay. All right. Guy thinks he's Chris Rock. Okay. Maybe. But, yeah, so I'm really disappointed. You know, I'm just disappointed on a lot of levels. They should have picked an actress who looked like Nina, which they could do because dark-skinned black actresses exist. They could have picked somebody who doesn't actually hate the fact that they're fucking black. That would have been pretty great for a movie about a black person. And I think that it's interesting the way it's blown up, too, because, of course, you know, it takes a long time to film a movie and get it together, but they started filming this like 2 years ago. So this, when they picked her for this, this was before After So White happened. This was before black people boycotted the Oscars. This was, you know, when the climate was a little bit more mild. So it'll be interesting to see, too, what kind of backlash it gets just because the climate is so much more intense now and people are talking about these things. But, of course, Hollywood being the way it is, Zoe will probably fucking get nominated for an Oscar for this shit because diversity.
A little bit?
It'll happen. A little bit. I think that'll happen. Maybe. Probably. Yeah. So I'm sad. I'm disappointed. I'm very, very disappointed in Zoe.
Hell, man. Get Maria Strober.
Oh, I am checking the chat room now. I see that Bag Shoes is posting pictures of snakes. That is a piebald python. I also see that Bag Shoes said Star Trek, not Star Wars. See, you are making me doubt myself and my Star Wars knowledge. Thanks, William.
Yeah, it was a Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
I would actually say it was Star fucking Trek myself.
Would you? Would you? Bag Shoes is putting a cobra in your bed, so you should probably watch out for that. I've heard they're kind of dangerous. True story.
Oh, no. Action figures are not dangerous. You want to put all the Cobra Commanders in there, you know.
All the in bed,
yeah.
Though?
Like, yeah, we'll be playing G.I. Joes. Like, that's an okay thing.
No, because then when you fall asleep and you roll over on it, but it hurts.
We got a story to tell. I mean, it's not like we're going to not have wine and brunch in the morning.
But then that would imply we're just going to tell the story to each other, which is weird because we were both there when
we podcast and we can do personal journal.
We're going to personal journal podcast while having brunch. And quite frankly, why you should pay us, because I would love to get paid to do that with my life, and you would love to hear about my life if that's the kind of life I was living. So basically, everybody wins, and you should donate $5 to our to our podcast.
And keeping with the colorism,
yeah.
Like, notice how hard it was for us to think of other people that could play her, because...
Yeah.
Very few dark-skinned women get roles.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was trying to think of, like, oh, what about all the women that played in that movie, The Best Man? Oh, they're all fairly fair.
Well, this is how I know, like, I'm an asshole. It's because I forgot to Google it before we went on, but the one who plays Crazy Eyes on Orange is the New Black,
And I can never think of the character's name.
And I was like, as an asshole, I'm going to do an entire segment about colorism and how we need to have more representations for dark-skinned actors, but I can't actually remember the name of the dark-skinned actor. Like, that's really fucking embarrassing, and I'm sorry, y'all.
Yeah, and then, I mean, and then what's a really good dark-skinned role is, you know, that character, which, and it's like, yeah, I mean, have that character. Write your script and have your characters, but it's like, what would be great for somebody really dark-skinned with pretty natural hair that's in casual braids? And then, hey, let's just use it for some good old-fashioned ableism.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, isn't it a show that's about a white woman in jail? So, I mean.
Oh, yeah, and I mean, and get ready, because I think season 4 is about to drop, and all of the exact same people are going to make the exact same post that they made since 2013. Oh, I hate Piper. Then stop watching the show. That's who the show is centered around. There are other characters. There are other stories. They're interesting and they're fun. But it's like, gee, we get it. You hate Piper.
You know, I honestly do wonder, though, if people watch the show, like, just to be supportive of, like, Laverne Cox because they want to support a trans woman of color actress. But they actually hate the show because of Piper. So they just have to keep watching to help them with their ratings because Laverne or something like that. I wonder.
Yeah, we can't like get a specific number, but you know, goddamn well that's happening. That's like how like I had the Oscars on the television set just because I think Elon is full of shit. So I just had the Oscars on just to give him that rating, and I had it on mute. Like, I wasn't even listening. Like, I was like, I just turned on the television, put it on mute, and then I was just looking at my tablet and going through my news feed.
You know, I listened to a few minutes of it. He lost me with the Stacey Dash thing.
I got it. We got it. I'm probably – and you know what it is? Because – Fox News is hilarious to me, and I like watching, you know, at least like an hour a day of Fox News, hopefully 90 minutes if I can. And yeah, the having Stacey Dash come out and say I'm here to represent my people is fucking funny as all of the shit.
I don't know, it was awkward to me. Like, it just didn't play out as well as was intended, I think.
And you know why? Because you had a bunch of actor nerds there and not politics nerds.
Yeah, I think that was extra awkward because the audience didn't know how to react, and that made the joke weird.
Yeah, I appreciate that he did that one for me and the few other poly nerds out there. Like me and Benjamin Dixon, we were laughing.
Wow. Well, as long as the two of you are happy, I guess. All right. Yeah, so I'm looking at this thread. How much bad news do you think we can get through in one episode?
Jesus Christ. I mean, we have such a damn track record for the shit now. Like, we're approaching episode 400. And you heard what, like, I was playing Feeny Loco, one of my old-ass episodes from 2013. And I did a rhyme cast, and then I was like, all right, let's see if we can't get to some bad news.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's kind of what we do. Isn't it?
Yeah. Hell, one of my earliest episodes is titled, Is It Good News Yet?
Well, I mean, there's that.
Well, let's see if we've got some colored black stuff.
Colored black stuff. Well, I think that first and foremost, we need to plan ahead. I'm just going to say this now. We need to plan ahead because you know what's coming up, right? In April? You know what April is, right?
Oh, April. April could be the month. And of obviously the first day of that month, it's improbable, but it's not impossible that April 1st, somebody might hold a rally where they do very specific invites to people who would consider themselves progressives, liberals, and then that person would step on that stage and say, all right, my name is Donald J. Trump, and I was just bullshitting around with this whole run for president. I just wanted to expose how sincerely and ridiculously fucked up the Republican Party is. Good day. And I'd like to apply for Bernie Sanders' running mate. Fuck the Republicans. April Fool.
I mean, that could happen.
Yeah, this whole thing could be one big April Fool's joke.
It could be. However, I think that it's more likely that April, we're going to have to do a White History Month because the state of Mississippi has declared that April is Confederate History Month. Yay!
Well, I got yeah. nothing. What the fuck? Confederate History Month.
Yeah. The Jackson Free Press reports that Mississippi Governor Phil Bryant has signed an official governor proclamation declaring April, drumroll, Confederate Heritage Month.
Oh, Confederate. So it's Confederate Heritage Month.
Right, because it's about heritage, not hate.
Yeah. Yeah, Ricky L. Hines wrote about that for the Americans United Again blog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Also, apparently, I don't know if you knew this, but Mississippi was just last, as usual, but they're not the only state who has a Confederate Heritage Month. Did you know that?
Ah. And I mean,
you know,
and just keeping in line, you know, one thing about Confederate heritage was the very sort of clear Christian leanings of it, and one of our finest Christians, David Barton, I mean, he has a way of thinking about, like, judges and whatnot. David Barton's somebody that we've played a few times recently on here. He's sort of a new right-wing voice to the wine cellar, and he's a revisionist. You know, he thinks that slaves had it awesome, you know, shit like, you know, that kind of guy. Well, yeah, what else is going on with Confederate history?
Just a side note to that, it's always interesting how many people say slaves had it often, yet they never volunteer to be slaves themselves. It's fucking weird. Almost like they're lying.
Yeah, they don't think they deserve it.
They're
humble.
Protestant self-flagellation in denial. Okay. I mean, maybe. But really, the important question is William.
Hola.
How are you celebrating Confederate Heritage Month? Because they have one in Florida.
Holy shit. Is it, if it is in like Orlando or Castleberry, I'm fucking there. Like you've been on the Google Plus with me. You've seen my facial hair. Like,
I know.
I've got to do something with this handlebar mustache, and if I got it, I will go to that event. And, like, I've actually been, like, when I see white men with handlebar mustaches now, I stop them, and I lean in. I'm like, how you doing there, fella? Is it going all right? And they're like, yeah, we're pretty good.
Oh, horrible person. You're a horrible person. But just in case you miss it in Florida, the entire month of April is Confederate History Month, also in Louisiana, Alabama, Georgia, Texas, and Virginia. So, I mean, you know, you could just, like, go on over to Alabama if you miss the event in Florida. So, yeah, that's a thing. I mean, I don't know if you're going to celebrate because it's all about heritage, and heritage is very, very, very important, and you should probably care about it.
I will totally peel off a couple of dollars and get a fucking Duck Dynasty shirt and go to that shit. Because it's not just that I have the handlebar mustache, but I, like, have the disconnected sideburns. Yeah. Like, I've just been having fun with my face.
Fun with my face. That's the sentence that happened? Okay. I mean, I wouldn't recommend it. I would be concerned about what would happen to you there because I don't know if you're aware of this. I mean, you might not know, but you're black. So Like, I don't know if you're aware of that, but that's a thing. So you should maybe be careful during Heritage Month. Someone might want to take you home and never let you leave. That might happen. So, I mean.
Woman.
Thanks.
Look.
Yeah.
I'm going to walk
really?
On up to that there stage. And I'm going to be like, y'all let me on up front. And they're going to be like, what you want, colored boy? I'm going to be like, I ain't colored. I'm a dark-skinned hot man. It's called swarthy.
I guess that I'm a dark-skinned white man.
Yeah, and I'm going to get up on that stage, and I'm going to tell them all about how Obama's coming to take our guns. Michelle Obama's coming to take our fun. Hillary Clinton wants to beat you like a nun. And Bernie Sanders ain't the one. Now listen here. Now you might support Donald J. Trump, but I support Jesus H. Christ. Now you go to that ballot and you write in Jesus for president. You want the rapture to come back? Then you need to fill out that petition and tell the Lord.
I don't think that's how that works.
Off on the run, making money, cause I want to have fun. 5 o'clock whistle off like a missile. Got a hot date, girl named Kate. Thanks, I'm cool, cause I should.
Now I'm going to tell y'all something else, feller. Listen here. We are intersectional Confederate fellers, all right? We don't leave nobody out, especially not our women folk. Now you get your red-haired woman folk, and you intersect them with your blonde-haired women folk, and you intersect them with the brunette. Because
that's
right. We are inclusive. We get all our women involved. What?
Right behind you said you have reverse vitiglio.
I may very well
the
do.
Like that. Wait,
oh, that,
a LIGO, right?
That's what LIGO? Uncle Ruckus had. He
reverse,
did.
It's taken over your whole body. Which would actually be hilarious. What you need to do, though, is, like, get skin bleach and just do, like, a quarter size, like, on your stomach. And they're like, I don't believe you. Like, look at my stomach. I used to be like this. My whole body used to be like that. What?
Oh, man.
This is why I can't be trusted with things.
I've listened to your black ass talk all day about how much you can't stand black folks. Ain't two of them in the history of the world that's worth a squirrel for. Well, how much you love white folks? Best thing the good Lord ever did for the planet Earth.
Ruckus, you black as Ace of Spades, man.
I don't see the need for you to go and insult the man after a game of checkers. We've been reminiscing all day, looking in each other's eyes, acting like we like each other. Now you got to go ahead and remind me of my ailment.
Ailment?
That's right.
Ailment.
You heard of vitiligo? Shoot, well, I got re-vitiligo. Every year my skin just seemed to get blacker
and darker, and then more darker.
It's the opposite of what Michael Jackson got. Lucky bastard.
Reverse vitiligo. All right. I mean, maybe.
Re-vitiligo.
I actually, like, legitimately want you to record an encounter with one of the rednecks down there and try to convince them that that's a real medical condition and you have it. Actually, what you should do is run a fundraiser so people can donate for a cure so we can get all the white men back to being white again.
And you know how those people are anti-science and anti-intellectualism. Like, I can really go. I can be like, well, like, you see how this mustache hair is growing out my face? That's what happens when your skin get darker and darker. The hair just curl up and get all naptified.
You should actually, I think you should run a fundraiser for yourself and be like, help me find a cure for reverse vitiligo because I want my white privilege back.
Hell yeah, man. Or I just want to be closer to God.
Because everybody knows Jesus white.
Yeah, I mean, because the thing is, back when I was a little boy, you know, there was a student in my classroom, and I was not nice to that student. And by not being nice to that student, I bought a curse on myself, and it's the curse of Ham. And I've been trying to earn my way out of it.
think you can earn your way out of that kind of a curse.
All right.
I mean, I'm pretty sure you can.
Yeah. There are stable there are lunch tables and there are Star Wars lunch tables. And if you're not cool at the Star Wars lunch table, you can't sith with us.
Really, though?
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey.
No.
Oh, Dan, let me check the phone bank. Because we're on the same line, I can't screen calls, and someone who called in hung up. I sent you a message to try to get you to tell the person, like, hey, we see you in the phone bank.
Sorry.
Ah, they're hanging in there. They're going to be all right.
Yeah. They like Jesus.
A lot.
What? And shouldn't they be at church or something and not listening to this heathen podcast?
You can't search for and or watch Jesus pornography films in church yet.
But what if the church has Wi-Fi?
Church has Wi-Fi? Go in the bathroom. You go in the bathroom, you know, and nail up your cross, if you will.
I was just going to say have a moment with the Holy Spirit, but all right. Palm Beach. William, what do you know about Palm Beach?
You go in the bathroom and make a woman out of your rib. All right, what's going on, Palm Beach? Palm Beach in Florida?
Yes. Nothing? You know nothing about Palm Beach?
I think there's palm trees there, and it's probably near the water, somewhat sort of a beach-like situation.
Mm-hmm. So you don't know anything about police there?
Oh, police there? Oh, they're good old boys.
Yes, they are. Apparently, hackers got into the computer systems of some Palm Beach Sheriff's Department employees and exposed some of the corruption under Sheriff Rick Bradshaw. Yeah. Would you like to guess what their tricks of the trade included?
When they help old ladies cross the street, they pinch their buttocks and that ain't right. You just help them cross the street. You know, you don't go and get in there and get yourself a squeeze. That's wrong. That's what you got a wife for.
What? Well, what if you're not married?
Oh, if you ain't married, then you ask that woman out on it. You ask her down to the homecoming dance, like a nice young man.
According to one officer, this is his quote: "I have a method for getting people off the street that should not be there. Mouthy drivers, street lawyers, assholes, and anyone else trying to make my job difficult. Remember, if you're rude to police, that means you don't deserve to be there." Okay. Under my floor mat, I keep a small plastic dime bag with cocaine in residue. Since it's just residue, if it's ever found during the search of my car during an inspection, it's easy enough to explain. It must have stuck to my foot. Anyways, no one's going to question an empty baggie. The residue is key because you can fully charge some asshole with possession of cocaine, heroin, or whatever with just residue. How to get it done? I ask the person for their identification. When they pull out a wallet, I observe small plastic baggie fall out of his pocket. You get the idea. Easy, right? But the best part is those baggies can be found lots of places, so you can always be ready. Don't forget to wipe the baggie on the person's skin after you arrest them, because you want their DNA on the bag if they say you planted it.
All right, but that's actually not cocaine in that bag. We know what's really in that bag. That there's sugar in that bag.
Might be.
Pour some sugar on me.
Something
definitely
sweet. Yeah, that's a great song. It's a great karaoke song, actually. karaoke song. So this officer, who was later tracked down and gave an interview anonymously, because I guess we need to respect our sources, even when they are corrupt cops who put people in prison. He says, "This happens on a regular basis, probably almost every day in my shift. I work nights on road patrol, in a mostly black neighborhood, planting evidence and lying in your reports is just part of the game. Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Yeah. And then he, of course, yeah. What?
Yeah, keep going. This it's actually fucking horrible. It really is.
It is. It is. Like, and then the interviewer asks him, did you observe some frequency with this practice, which is taking someone seemingly not guilty of a crime and laying drugs on them? And the officer says, yes, all the time. It's something I see a lot from deputies, supervisors, or undercovers, and even investigators. You have no emotion when you do it. They attach bodies to it. They're going to be out of jail tomorrow anyway. Nothing is going to happen to them anyway. Are you fucking kidding me? Really? You planted cocaine on a black person? You thought they were just nothing was going to happen to them? Really? Really? Okay.
No, I mean, if you plant, when you plant cocaine on black people, you know what cocaine does to folks, right? Like, kind of wakes them up, gets them moving around. Well, we've seen what recently happens.
They get a job and get off welfare.
Yeah, they get in formation, man. You
they get in formation, and then they go to Red Lobster.
That's the morning after, yes.
Yeah, the morning after they go to Red Lobster. One of the, and then of course he completely absolves himself of blame and says, one of the consequences of the war on drugs is that police officers are pressured to make large numbers of arrests, and it's easy for some of the less honest cops, a.k.a. all cops, to plant evidence on innocent people. The drug war inevitably leads to crooked policing. Apparently, before the drug war happened, police were 100% honest and never did bullshit. Did you know that?
Yes, I did, actually. By far some of the finest fellers in any career choice ever in the world. Yeah, but what else is going on with them fellers?
The interviewer asks, is this taught with your training at the academy? And the officer says, it's not part of official coursework, but many field training officers give life lessons in how to stay ahead of trouble or stay ahead of a suspect when it comes to planting evidence or writing reports. My training officer, who is no longer at the sheriff's office, would keep narcotics and a gun in his car in case he needed to put pressure on a suspect. We also regularly review the facts before writing our reports to make sure our reports match facts as we present them. By doing this, we can present them any way we want. Which, Chicago, we saw with Laquan McDonald. All the reports suggested, corroborated the police story. He was attacking police, and it wasn't until video footage came out you could see he was walking away from police when they shot him 16 times.
Damn, if you can, if you get a chance, link the article in the chat space right behind you, Locos, looking for that.
Yes, I will do that. And then the interviewer asks, has anyone been caught doing this? What happened? And the officer says, our top boss, Sheriff Rick Bradshaw, supports this behavior and has for his entire career. Last year, we had three deputies on the TAC unit, Kevin Drummond and Jared Foster, get caught for falsifying information for a warrant. They got a pat on the back for a job well done. Just recently, we had a deputy caught lying on a car crash. Back a few more years, a sheriff was involved with a cover-up of two black deputies. He hid the report for years. This is only the beginning. The sheriff is involved in falsification of documents, and his underling, Chief Deputy Michael Gouger, has been personally involved in an overtime scandal to steal money from the sheriff's office. Does our sheriff know about the behavior? Of course he does. Like, of course. So fucking what? Of course he does. Give me me.
Here comes the I told you so. It's not good cops, bad cops. It's the institution is fucked. Like, the institution is just a pile of shit, and it's no good, and it really is foul. I mean, and there are the people who are like, but we need something in place until you can actually get it replaced. You can't get rid of this shit. Lives are being ruined. The many are being destroyed by the few, which, as usual, in a feudal system. It's just that this is just an expanded, advanced feudal system, right? This is a feudal system with Wi-Fi, but it's still the same oppressive shit where the fucking few fuck over the many.
Yep. And then the interviewer asks if this is common practice around the country, and the officer says, I don't know, this is the only department I've ever worked for, but we do get new guys coming in, and they have creative ideas, too, so I guess it's common all over.
Creative ideas. And it's just, they're creatives. They create things, these guys.
They create things, yes.
Yeah.
And are you ready for the best line in the whole thing?
Jesus fucking Christ. No, I'm not.
You're not. Yeah, you are.
No, you're ready for the best line.
It can get pretty bad. Most of our deputies would never think of doing that or going that far, but, you know, there's a few bad apples in every bunch.
Ah, okay.
If you're more of a reader than a listener, you can peep our written content at socialdissonance.wordpress.com.
All right, what in the hell darn heck fire? What else is going on with these fellas?
Yes.
Is that the whole business?
That is the majority of it. There is some more of the interview. The only other thing that drastically sticks out is that the interviewer asks towards the end, but what if the people you're dealing with are innocent and you got on a drug charge, and the officer says, I know for a fact they're not innocent. We wouldn't be dealing with them if they were innocent. Just because they're not guilty of this doesn't mean they're not guilty of something.
Of something.
Something.
I know it's something.
Something.
And that's the thing. Like, when we step out the door, somebody knows we're guilty of something,
something.
Right? Like,
yeah.
if you're a colored person, most likely not Asian. If you're a colored person of anything but Asian, typically you're guilty of something. If you're a white woman to a white man, you're probably some slut that wants it. You know, like just everybody is guilty of something to the person who is above them on the ladder, right? Like the owner always thinks the laborer is fucking lazy. You know, like they're guilty of something. The banker thinks that you don't know how to handle your money well, but who crashed the economy? They think you're guilty of something. Fucking, and that's oppressive systems come up with bullshit reasons to oppress, because there's no such thing as a good reason to oppress. Now, I teased it, but a person that comes from this thinking. And I follow folks like this because they use emotional manipulation and pseudo-intellectualism to kind of put to reason this shit themselves. So I did. I teased it earlier at the second half of this program. But revisionist David Barton, he's back, and he's going to be a bit of a regular. He's going to be like a, you know, right next to our Brian Fisher.
You know, I love the fact that you brought the Lord into this, about praying and hearing from the Lord, because that leads directly into our next question. Let's look at our second question here.
All right, let's look at our second question. And I like how he's hanging out with the coloreds. He like the person he's talking to is black, and the question's coming from a black person.
So to me, it seems like so many wrong decisions come down from the courts nowadays, and many of these decisions just defy common sense. What's wrong with these judges?
Man, he really put a lot into that fucking... That was such a specific question. Not vague at all. All right, now David Barton's going to break it the fuck down.
That belief that the judiciary is out of kilter is a common belief. We now have 3/4 of Americans by polling that say that they do not believe that judges follow the law or the Constitution.
Well, they don't.
They don't. They impose their own agenda. And the problem is that judges themselves have...
What?
You have a problem when they do these statistics that they don't talk about who's answering the questions, because there's probably a lot of conservatives who think that judges don't follow the law because they're too liberal, but meanwhile, people like us are like, okay, but what about that cop that planted cocaine, though? You're selling kids to prison. that's not following the law. So,
oh, yeah. And there's also such a thing as push polling, which is, you know, well, hey, if I was a pollster, I would totally do push polls. You bet your buttermilk biscuits I fucking would. I would find a predominantly black voting district, and I would call, and I would say, so how do you feel about voting for Hillary Clinton after you know what she did to destabilize Haiti and how she had a hand in Boko Haram kidnapping those girls? You know, like a day before the vote. Like, yeah, I would push pull my fucking ass off. Like, the game is dirty already. You know, hey, at least I put on gloves before I got in there.
Left God out of the picture. Because when you go back in the Bible, there are so many explicit directives to judges. Let me just read one out of 2 Chronicles 19:67.
And I like how, you see, it was explicit directives to judges. And considering that this was 2,000 years old, written by a couple of fucked up weirdos hanging out in the desert, they were totally thinking about the American judicial system when they wrote it. But of course they wrote it in their language, in their script, over 2,000 years ago, and obviously we have a perfect, honest translation over the many languages that it's been run through. Here we go.
Consider what you're doing. You do not judge for man, but for the Lord, who is with you when you render judgment. Now then, let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Be very careful what you do.
All right. Now, and keep in mind, the reason why they're talking all this shit is because Fat Tony Scalia died, you know. So what he's doing is he's putting this religious idea behind Scalia saying, blacks voting, what? Blacks, they're slow. Put them in slow colleges. Like, that's what
else? Voting Rights Act. So what if it's gutted? I'm white and I'm proud.
Yeah. And then, I mean, gay marriage, butt sex. I mean, because really, like, look at what Scalia actually wrote. Like, he basically just was obsessed with just, what? So you're talking about butt sex, right? Nah, I'm not with that. Well, then don't fucking do it. That's how I win. I always win, every single time. Just fucking don't. Or fucking give it a shot. You don't know. You don't know. Might be the perfect fit. You might have a butt-shaped penis. All right, here we go.
Right, and you know, there's so many people today that are educated at institutions where they come out as secular humanists.
Yeah.
And so there's no fear of God.
That's not the institutions. That's the progression of society outside of your theocracy, your theocratic ideas. What up?
I love the fact that they hate secular humanists, even though secular humanists hold essentially the same values. They just don't want to go to church on Sunday. Like, they're like, fuck that, getting up early to talk about Jesus. But racism, misogyny, capitalism, corporate greed, fuck yeah. Like, environment, ecosystem, who needs one of those? What?
Ugh.
And they're there. They see it as a way to advance a political agenda. And that's very dangerous for a nation, and the people have to find a way to gain some control and to shift the balance back to the way the framers of the Constitution intended. The power was supposed to be with the people.
It was supposed to be
That framers of the Constitution intended, that goes back to Antonin Scalia's pretend originalism, which we can dig into that because he used his originalism at will whenever it just happened to suit the moment.
The people, and when judges forget that they render judgment for God, God's a God of justice. And when judges forget that they render judgment for God, then you no longer get justice in courts.
This show is fucked up.
This was Reading in the Shade with Phoenix Kalita.
This show is rated R for keeping it real. Negroes doing Negro stuff. Keeping it real.
With a keep it real attitude. Keep it real. Keep it real. Keep it real.
Keeping it real.
All right, and I know that one played out like wine cellar light, but we're working it in. Phoenix Kalita, Reading in the Shade, Conversation Radio. All right, have a good one there.
Bye.